Welcome to a Sports Talk Chicago special podcast, a one-on-one interview with Marcus Lemonis. My name is John Zagluo, and I'll be hosting today's show, and we have so much to get to and so much to talk about with today's special guest. Before we get started, make sure to hit us up on Twitter at ChiTalkSports. And you can find me personally on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Google+ at John Zags, and on Twitter at John Z Sports. Today's show is brought to you by Mucci World, where inspiration meets creation. Call them today at 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Mucci World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Single game tickets are available now. Call 708-489-BALL. That's 708-489-2255 to purchase tickets for their next home game. Well, today's a big show for many reasons. First off, we're having a big guest on. Somebody who lives here in the Chicagoland area, yet is a multi-million dollar investor and the star of a hit cable TV series, The Prophet, on CNBC. He's also, similar to David Meltzer, who we had on in our last show, a guy with many stories to tell. And just because he's not a part of the sports world doesn't mean that what he has to say isn't important. During today's show, I plan on talking with Marcus about some very interesting things in his life, including his show on CNBC, surviving the 2008 financial crisis, and his political career. So there you have it. We have some very fascinating things to talk about today. The interview itself should be very fun, enjoyable, and informative. And at this point, I want to thank you, the listener, for continuing to support my endeavors in getting different opinions and different people on this show. One thing that you guys continue to tell me through ratings on iTunes and through day-to-day interaction is that you guys enjoy my compelling interviews. Therefore, I continue to find guests that will do just that. Give topical, opinionated, and enjoyable interviews. Thank you for your support, and I hope you enjoy what's to come. And with that, it's time for our special guest. His entrepreneurial career started in the 1980s at age 12, where he started a lawn mowing service in order to generate money to open a candy business. After attending Marquette University and running a hard-fought campaign for a seat in the Florida House of Representatives, he focused on the automotive industry, coming together with Lee Iacocca to create the nation's largest RV chain. In 2008, after his numerous business successes, he was named Entrepreneur of the Year by Ernst & Young. Today, he is the CEO of Camping World and star of CNBC's The Prophet. Please welcome Marcus Lemonis to the show. Marcus, how are you doing today? And thank you for being here on the show.
I'm feeling good. How are you?
Doing great, man, and I really appreciate you taking the time. I know, you know, you're a very busy guy with your show and being CEO of Camping World, but thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Well, first off, Marcus, with all of the successes that you have earned in your life, from being an entrepreneur to reviving the RV business model, and of course, your highly acclaimed show, who has been your biggest influence in your life?
You know, it's always a difficult question to answer because I don't know if there's any one particular person that in anybody's life that puts a rubber stamp as the most important person. I think, you know, what we need to do is take stock of different people along the way, and whether it's your a fifth grade teacher or whether it's your mother or whether it's a boss that you had. I think for me, there's just been a multitude of people, and you know, it's hard to pick one specific person, but if I had to, I would say it's the people that I work with on a daily basis, because I learn probably more from them than they think I do. And I think that's one of the struggles that business owners have, is I think business owners believe that they're the ones that are teaching everything and that employees are the ones learning everything, and they're often, their roles are reversed. And so I think that would be probably my answer.
when did you realize that you wanted to work for yourself and be an entrepreneur and not conform to that usual 9-to-5 job?
You know, I never, even to today, I don't really feel like I work for myself. And so I think that's a bit of a misnomer that people have in owning your own business, is that you think that you're going to avoid 9-to-5 jobs and you're going to, you know, work for yourself and make your own decisions. And the reality of it is that owning your own business can sometimes be more difficult than working somewhere else, because there is no clock. 11 o'clock at night, you're going to be dealing with something. And, you know, I think for me, I realized that I wanted to work and really blaze my own trail. But, you know, whether you're borrowing money from a bank or whether you have customers or employees, you really never work for yourself. But I do like the idea of being able to blaze my own trail. And I really knew probably in my early 20s that that was a better fit for me than anything else, because I'm a bit of a free thinker and I want to be able to have the freedom to do that.
You know, going back to your time after graduating at Marquette, you had decided to run for a Florida House of Representatives seat as a Democrat, and in the end, despite numerous endorsements and support, you had lost in the race. Why did you decide to run for office, and then why did you end your political career early and move on to the business side of things?
You know, I was 21 or 22 at the time. It was 1996. I would probably chalk most of it up to naivety and a little bit of childhood foolishness in terms of thinking that that was the right path for me. I went into the process really as a novice, not really understanding how the political landscape works. And, you know, whether I was a Democrat or Republican kind of didn't matter at the time, because I've never had any sort of political perspective that leaned one way or the other. I probably picked Democrat because my entire family was Republicans, and I figured I would just buck the trend. Today, I would call myself very conservative fiscally, and probably, you know, a little more open-minded socially, and I don't know where that really lands me in today's political age, but I ended it because I thought it was just, I didn't think I could impact change enough, and I wanted to make some money. I didn't want to make, you know, $35,000 a year as a politician. I wanted to make, you know, $36,000 a year as a salesman or as a retailer, and it just seemed like a cleaner path for me.
Shifting to your hit show, The Prophet on CNBC, I wanted to start by asking how the show began. When did it all start, and how much have you enjoyed being a part of it?
You know, there's definitely days where I love it more than others, but it's like any job, it has its moments where you sort of scratch your head and wonder if it's the right thing. And it really was born out of this idea that, you know, after the recession of 2008 and 2009, there was a lot of dialogue around big companies and Fortune 100 companies, and I didn't think there was a lot of dialogue around small businesses in America. And I felt like this was a great opportunity for me to do that. And so I met with CNBC, and we sat down and really talked about what I would call a giant social experiment. To give people an opportunity to improve themselves, how will they react to it? And oddly enough, the results have been mixed. Some people do it very well, and some people take that opportunity and they blow it.
And speaking of the show from a personal standpoint, my economics teachers would show it to us in class, and it was such a great learning tool. Now, obviously, your investments serve as the show's purpose, but did you ever think about its other applications, including education, when you first started it?
That was actually always my original premise, is how do we make the environment better? How do we make the workplace better? And how do we give people things that they can really learn and grow as humans? I think that there's this confusion out there that in order to grow in business, you just have to focus on business. And my philosophy has always been, in order to grow in business, you have to really grow as an individual. How you think about people and how you value them and how you think about the consumer and the products that you're bringing to market and how relevant they are and the process in which you do that. And, you know, people, process, and product, which is sort of my mantra, is not as easy to follow. I mean, I slip up once in a while for sure. I make a lot of mistakes. But it was a way to give people something they could chew on, they could bite into, that made sense to them, that wasn't so cerebral. And I think I relish more in the fact that people learn from it than anything else.
You know, I'm sure there have been some good and bad deals that you've been a part of throughout the show. Is there a deal that you've done that you've ended up regretting doing?
Oh, gosh. I would say that more than half the deals don't go well after the camera's over. I mean, things fall apart, and there was a reason they were struggling to begin with. And to be candid with you, in some cases, you know, I'm to blame. I make mistakes, or I misjudge people, or I misjudge their character, or I misjudge the idea. And that's, you know, part of the charm and part of the downside of it is that, you know, when they work, they really work. But when they fail, they're some big ones. And I would say that there's been more than half that necessarily haven't worked out.
On the other hand, are there any deals that come to mind to you that have truly paid off, that maybe you came in with little to no expectations and they surprised you?
There's been a number of them, and I think that's part of the benefit of taking a chance on people is you never know what you're going to get. And in every one of the deals on the show, I really am banking on investing in the person, not necessarily much else. And if their product or their business doesn't end up coming to fruition the way we wanted it to, there's still a chance for them to be part of an organization and add value. And so I can think of a ton of them that have really worked out. I mean, the ones in Chicago tend to work out a little better. I have Pet Stuff, which is Bentley's Pet Stuff, Pet Chain, and that's been great. And then there's some Chicago episodes from the season that have worked out pretty nicely. And so maybe it's the Midwest sunshine that's helping everything.
On last week's episode, you invested in Simply Slices, a drive-through pizza concept located right here in the Chicagoland area. And I have to ask, especially after watching how that episode went, what were your thoughts on Dino, the owner of the Crestwood location?
You know, I would say that it was a pretty big disappointment. It didn't go well, as everybody knew, but it didn't go well largely because the owner just was I would call him a self-sabotager. Not a bad human being, not a bad person, just, you know, not a good fit for him. I mean, him and I just were oil and water for sure.
Well, with the show near the end of its fifth season, what do you see in the show's future, and how much longer do you see it on the air on CNBC?
You know, we've done about 75 episodes, almost 80 episodes, and candidly, I don't know what the future holds. You know, I enjoy making the show, but I also want to make sure that I make it so that people can get something out of it, and I always want to take a pulse on whether people are getting something out of it or not, and it was what I would call a late start. You know, we were making episodes 5 years ago, and people just didn't know about the show. They know about it much more today, and I think people are sort of just catching up to it. But I don't know what the future holds. I really don't.
We're talking to Marcus Lemonis here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Marcus, I wanted to move to your time as CEO of Camping World, the world's largest supplier of RV parts and services. And what's crazy is that, you know, you were able to overcome the 2008 financial crisis at the helm. From a personal standpoint, how difficult were those times for you?
I mean, it really, I would say for everybody, not just me, I mean, everybody that I meet, it really tested us. It tested our ability to bounce back. It tested our ability to be resilient. 2008 and 2009 were tough, but let me be clear. I don't think for a lot of people, 2018 is a bowl of roses either. You know, I meet a lot of people that are struggling today, struggling to find the right job, struggling to keep their business alive, struggling to figure out what they want to do in life. And that's probably something that never really stops. My best advice to people that are struggling, and I would include myself as there's days where I feel like I'm struggling, is to really take a breath and understand what's realistic and what's not. And I think oftentimes we're seeing people fail because they're setting an expectation for themselves or setting a standard for themselves that just may not be realistic. And getting everybody to pace themselves and slow themselves down is key. It's tough out there, and you know, for anybody that is struggling, I sympathize with them and I tell them, listen, you just gotta, get back up and keep plugging. But you know, those are words. And, you know, if you're one of those people that are struggling, it's a hard thing to hear.
And on a final note, with you being such a successful entrepreneur and investor, what's your advice to those trying to start their own business?
I want to make sure that before people start a business, that they really understand what that comes with. It doesn't come with financial freedom. It doesn't come with time freedom. It comes with an obligation to understand that the people that work there are more important than you are. And owning a business isn't for everybody. So if you're going to start a business, I want to make sure you have a plan. I want to make sure you have the right amount of working capital. I want to make sure that you understand what the path to success looks like. And I, more importantly, want you to understand what the possibility of failure is. Not to be scared by it, not to be discouraged by it, but to accept it as part of your learning curve. I fail all the time, and I think it makes me stronger. It makes me smarter. It definitely challenges my ego, and it challenges my pride. And that's something that I've had to learn how to, you know, cope with and develop over the years, but it can really be fulfilling when it works.
Marcus, thank you so much for being here on the show. It was such a pleasure to have you on, and feel free to come on again in the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, there you have it. My interview with Marcus Lemonis was quite entertaining and enjoyable, and we had a great time talking about his business success, the profit on CNBC, and even his short-lived political career. And what I really appreciated about him was that he took the time out of his busy day and busy schedule to call in and be on the show. This guy is an investor for hundreds of companies, he has filming to do for his own TV show, and he's the CEO of Camping World, yet he found 10 to 15 minutes to come here on the show and talk about his great entrepreneurial successes. I hope you enjoyed our interview just as much as Marcus and I did. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Instagram, Google+, and LinkedIn at John Zags, and on Twitter at John Z Sports. A very special thank you to Marcus Lemonis for being here on the show, and a thank you to you, the listener, for continuing to listen to different people and different perspectives. On a final note, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage. Simply type in your email, click the link in the confirmation email that's sent to you, and then you'll be subscribed. You'll receive email updates whenever a new article or podcast is posted. And finally, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago and find our podcast. We'd really appreciate it if you can give us a rating or review, as well as subscribe. Every podcast from the 2018 calendar year is up on iTunes and Google Play. Check it out today. My name's John Zaglul for SportsTalkChicago.com. Thank you again for listening to the show today, and have a great day.